Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, a resurrection grace and blessing from God the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Our text for consideration today is taken from the first epistle of John, chapter 1, all of chapter 1, and verses 2 through verse 2. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, concerning the word of life. The life was manifested, and we have seen, and bear witness, and declare to you that eternal life, which was with the Father, was manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you, that your joy may be full. This is the message which we have heard from him, and we declare to you that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and we walk in darkness, we lie and we do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, these things I write to you, that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. Our gospel text and the Old Testament, well, it's not the Old Testament, but the book of Acts reading, highlights several things that John incorporates into our reading today. Primarily, again, you knew and you could see right here from this reading how our liturgy follows, pulls much of that very verbiage right out of the first epistle to John. So in the Acts reading, of course, the gospel was being proclaimed by the apostles, it says, with power. And great grace was being applied to the people. People's hearts were aflame with faith. And the apostles firmly had preached the resurrection from the dead. Again, it is the main event that separates us from every other religious profession in the world or claims to access to the God, the resurrection of the Christ. It is unique, and it is the only way to the Father. Of course, after the resurrection, the disciples were there in the midst of that room for fear of the Jews. The persecution was coming against the church already, and the apostolic preaching that Jesus was the Christ, that both the Jews and the Gentiles had put the Lord of glory to death. That didn't give them favor, especially amongst the ruling leadership of Jerusalem in that day. But Jesus appeared. You'll notice how they had locked all the doors, and they were in there a little afraid, and he walks in. And the first thing he says to them is, "Peace be with you." That is just, first of all, I can't wait to share in that type of body. Huh? Are you looking for that resurrection from the dead and have that type of body? Yeah, that's pretty something. So he walked right in their midst, but he declares peace to them. Peace. Why peace? Because those who are his, there is peace before God. In their presence, they have peace with the Father. The work of the Son has given them that peace. Because the Father, through fallen humanity, it says the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all unrighteousness and ungodliness that suppress the truth in unrighteousness. There is only a relationship with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Everything else is a lie. It's a suppression of the truth. And God's wrath is kindled against that. But Jesus said to them, "Peace be with you." And he declared to them that as the Father had sent him into the world, in the same way, the authority that he is now giving them is to take the gospel into the world and declare the forgiveness of sins. And of course, that poignant time that he had when he said, "You know, Thomas, do you believe because you've seen? Blessed are those who believe and have not seen. Blessed are those who believe through your preaching, apostles, that is going to go into all the world because they have found peace with God. By believing in faith, their sins are forgiven. They have fellowship with God." That brings us to our text. Fellowship with God and fellowship with one another. We gather here as one people. There's only one faith, one hope, one baptism, one Spirit, one Father, one Lord of all. There's only one church. And the only people in that one church are those who have believed the gospel of Jesus Christ, are abiding in him through faith. They are the ones that have fellowship with God. And by the way, that's the only thing that constitutes true fellowship between you and me, is that when we abide in that one faith. So John, after the resurrection and these events where Jesus just walked into a locked room, declared the peace, it got John excited and stirred up. And so the beginning of our epistle, he says, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which our eyes have seen, which we have looked upon and our hands handled concerning the word of life." The word of life. John got to, you know, he was the one that leaned on Jesus' breast, wasn't he? He was the beloved one, the one whom Jesus loved. He knew him in the flesh. That night he got to touch the hands just like Thomas, as Jesus appeared to all of them and showed it to them. And I no doubt he said, "Come on, feel it, guys. This is me." No, he says, "We have heard him. We heard him. We're eyewitnesses to his preaching, his teaching. Our eyes have seen him. Our hands have held him. And that which we held in the flesh was the word of life." Remember, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." You can't have the life without abiding in the truth. And you can't be on the way to that eternal life, that fellowship with the Father and with one another, without abiding in the truth. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. You take any one of those out of the equation, you don't have Christian faith. He says, our hands held the word of life. This life was manifested. We've seen it, we bear witness to it, and we declare it to you. That eternal life, which was with the Father, was manifested to us. And that which we have seen and heard, we declare to you. This isn't a secret message or a secret society. The apostles were to go out and declare openly their belief in Jesus the Christ and in the resurrection. And why do we declare this message, those who have sent to preach the word? Why do we declare it in such clearness? Because, he says, that you also may have fellowship with us. These apostles were chosen by the Lord, redeemed of the Lord, and then commissioned to go into the world and preach the gospel. And John says, I'm giving you an eyewitness account. I'm telling you these things that you may believe, that you may also have the same fellowship we have with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Not a myth, a real communion with God. Really being on the right way. Being truly in eternal life and having it. And understanding and abiding in the truth. He says, this is the message which we had heard from the beginning and we declare to you. That God is light and in him there is no darkness. If we say that we have fellowship with him and we walk in darkness, we lie and we do not practice the truth. You'll notice that word, practice the truth. We lie and we do not practice the truth. So what is walking in light? That's kind of ambiguous, isn't it? It's kind of hard to get our hands on what it means to walk in the light. Well, when we are walking in the light, we have fellowship with God, and we have true fellowship with one another. But when we walk in darkness, that darkness, again, is inconsistent with that pattern. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Walking in darkness is not being on the way. It's not consistent with the truth. And it is not practicing and abiding in the life, eternal life, that God had sent in Christ Jesus. What might we say is walking in darkness? It's hard to hear it sometimes in the modern church today that is so fallen away from the truth of God. From all the many religious voices that are out there that saying all the paths lead to God. No matter how you what you believe about God, no matter what path you are, as long as you're sincere about that, that's a way to God. That's walking in darkness. It's a lie. If you believe that you're a Christian and you can practice living together, fornicating, drunkenness, idolatry, extortion, stealing from your employers, avoiding your taxes, you walking in anything and practicing it as a lifestyle, which we know is contrary to the Word of God, that's walking in darkness. Our Lord and Savior has only one word for you. Repent. And believe the good news. And return to walking in the light as he is in the light. That you might have eternal life. That's why John continues saying, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But here's the good news. That God has chosen the foolishness of preaching to save some. We live in a broken and fallen world, and sometimes these mixed voices that we hear, even from churches that would give us license to go cohabitate or practice it, you name it. Most of our churches are silent in the preaching of sin. But by the grace of God, if you do hear a word that convicts your soul and your conscience is convicted that you need to turn from that, that it is sin in your life. Know that God is standing there like the Father and the prodigal son with open arms. In fact, when he even sees you turn slightly at a distance, he begins to run to you. And he wraps his arms around you and says, it's all forgiven. It's all been paid. That which was lost has been found. Our fellowship has been restored. We need a fellowship from God that is true, not one that is made up by the imaginations of men, that says that we can form God in any way, according to our image. That is not the Easter message. When he came up from the grave, he came up there to declare our justification, that for all the sins that we had committed and the world, as John ends this, not only for ours, but those of the whole world. So those that are sitting in darkness, walking in darkness, we are not to condemn them. We are not messengers, even as Christ came into the world in the first time, not to condemn the world, but to declare the righteousness from God, how we can have fellowship, eternal life with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. That's our message, that we are ambassadors of reconciliation. When Jesus came out of the grave and he appeared to the 12 in that upper room, it was all about the Great Commission. Now that you believe, you're empowered with the Holy Spirit. He breathed the Holy Spirit upon them and said, go. As you have been given, give away. Preach the word in season and out of season. Declare the glory of what God has done through his Son, Jesus Christ. And as I've used in many times, that the gates that have chosen and locked up fallen humanity's heart. Sin is the lock that's bound that gate. But the resurrected Lord coming out of that grave says this: be lifted up, you gates, you everlasting doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is the King of glory? The only begotten Son of God, who died for you and for me to bring us eternally to the Father. Amen.